in the Acts of the Apostles, a word or two concerning the Holy Ghost. For as you know, this is the real Whit Sunday. Well, you know what I mean. It's the church calendar Whit Sunday. And I dare say that all over the land today and throughout the world, the church will be talking about the Holy Ghost. The tragedy was that in my background, in which I was brought up, never heard anything about him really, except on Whit Sunday. Then we had sermons about him. And to my knowledge, they never had any effect on me. Sermons never do. They don't have any effect on anybody, save in the intellectual realm. The only thing that ever reaches anybody is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That meets people in the realm of the Spirit, and that changes them utterly. And that's the whole thing, so far as God is concerned. All right then, in the Acts of the Apostles, something of the wonder of the Blessed Spirit, and because we have such a short time, we won't be able to expand it very much. But, beloved, it is because the Lord wanted us to enter into our privileges as the redeemed of the Lord, those whom he loved and those for whom he shed his blood. He loved us so much that he wanted us to enter into these great things of God. Now, this was entirely impossible unless he gave the Holy Spirit. This is something that you and I have to understand completely. It may be that you've read your Bibles, I hope that you have, and at times have said, well, I'm not in this. I believe it, but it isn't mine. I'm not in it. How do I get in? Well, you must receive the Holy Ghost. Now, it's totally impossible to receive the Holy Ghost unless you receive him in the exact manner in which the early church received him. God doesn't do sort of backdoor things. And in Acts chapter 2, let's read it very carefully. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You will know, of course, they were there for one purpose. The Lord had told them that Father was going to give them another comforter. That was his exact phrase. And so they were there to receive him. They didn't know they were going to receive him that day, but nevertheless, that's why they were gathered. He said they were to do this. I want you to see, first of all, then, beloved, that the act of receiving the Holy Spirit is an act of obedience. And this is the thing that Peter said, you may remember, in chapter 5, when he is answering up for the saints of God. It says this, verse 29 of Acts chapter 5. Then said Peter and the apostles. Now, they're all saying this. Will you notice it? They're all saying the same thing. This is one of the great features of the early church. They all said the same thing. Here it is. We ought to obey God rather than man. That's what they said. You see, they didn't say, oh, we're rejoicing in the Lord, or it's marvelous. That's not what they said. They put their finger on the spot. Results, they didn't talk about very much. Causes, they put their fingers on. And happy is the person who will allow God to put his finger on the spot. on the real cause. If you are not my beloved brother or sister, will you take it from God? If you are not in this thing, it's because you are being disobedient. And you ought to obey God rather than men. Doesn't matter if it's your own father that said different, or the man that preaches at the front, or anything. Your own husband or brother or whatever it be. You ought to obey God. And obedience requires the whole man. You can't partially obey in these things. Totality. Obedience is a word that demands the whole of the person. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, he's talking, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You know, I once had a great friend. He was an elderly man, and he was trying to do all sorts of things. I remember I used to go camping with him. And I remember him once getting hold of this scripture and pointing it out to me. Perhaps he saw that I was a budding young preacher in those days. A long time ago. And he pointed this out. He says, now see these sort of couplets in verse 2. Exalted to be a prince and a saviour. To give repentance to Israel. Gives repentance and forgiveness. You see? And he thought, now that's a wonderful thing. And that's where he stopped. But that was in common with all the kind of ministry under which I was brought up. Now listen. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. There it is. Doesn't matter what gloom, darkness, bondage, sin, whatever you're in, if you will obey God, he will give you the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. You have to obey the exalted head. God hath highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. This is what another apostle says later. God has exalted him. Not just to give you repentance and forgiveness, but also to give you the Holy Ghost. Total obedience will bring it completely. When I say it, I mean the gift. So we'll go back to Acts 2. They were there in one place, and verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and so on. You must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this can only happen to you as you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all for. Amen. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit prior to being baptized in him. You can have operations of the Holy Spirit upon you. You can have all sorts of things. But it's when you come and submit and give your total all to the Lord. so that he takes you and immerses you in the Spirit. You must have no arguments, no withdrawals, nothing. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Longing to do it. If you long to receive as much as he longs to give, you'd quit everything. For Jesus quit everything to give it to you, this blessed gift. He quit everything. He even laid down his own life. We've been commemorating it. The fact that he did it. In fact, we've been saying, this is our food. It isn't unless you've received the Holy Ghost. That's it. And that's the thing you have to see. Have you ever recalled this? Jesus, I think I've said it once since I've been here this time. Jesus instituted this. He had to. Before he was crucified. But they never kept it again until they were baptized in the Spirit. It's not for people who are not filled with the Spirit. Did you realize that? If you haven't shown yourself worthy to obey God, then you're not worthy to eat the bread and drink the wine. That's your worthiness. Your worthiness lies in your obedience. What made Abraham the worthy of the church? He obeyed God. You say, of the church? Yes. Jesus was Abraham's seed. What a tremendous thing it is for us to see this. And obedience brings the gift. What a marvelous thing. And when on the day of Pentecost, Peter had preached his great message, when they said to him, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, you repent. You repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the gift. Totality of repentance. There's nothing about going to heaven when you die. He didn't say anything about that. You look and see. This has all been gathered together as a doctrine for men. Of course, that's all right. But Peter didn't say anything about that. You will not find much said about that in the history of the church. You read the Acts of the Apostles and see. They hardly ever talked about that. Didn't seem to be in their minds. They were anxious only to receive the Holy Ghost, be in the church, and they were looking for Jesus to come back. They weren't looking for heaven. They were looking for Jesus. So the scriptures record. Seems very simple. And how lovely it is. It's because you've got your sights on wrong things. What you said is, my Lord delayeth his coming. So we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do the other. Do you see? And you're not still looking for Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. Jesus, you're my head. You're everything, Lord. Do you want to give me the Holy Spirit? Lord, I long to have everything you're giving me. That's it. Amen. And then he'll say to you, everything? You can't have everything unless you yield everything. He'll take you up on your words, you see, because we use them very lightly. But Jesus never spoke a word except, first of all, he weighed it up in terms of his own blood. He'd got to shed his own blood to guarantee them. Have you ever done that? Lord. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the blessed Holy Spirit. And from the moment they were baptized in the Spirit, they were in the Spirit, they lived in the Spirit. They walked in the Spirit. All the epistles are about it. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Everything in the Spirit. So then they came from being out of the Spirit into the Spirit. You're out of the Spirit until you have been baptized in the Spirit. That's the scriptures as plain as anything. It's all so simple. We don't need someone to come along and give us false comfort and try and scrape us into this and tell us this, that and the other, unless the facts are true. It's all simple. You read it. They were baptized in the Spirit. They received a gift of the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. They lived in the Spirit. From then on. It's one long, glorious, triumphant record of people living in the Spirit. And see the things that are connected, because you need to know your privileges. It started in the second chapter, where they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice there was no straining about this. They hadn't got any idea of this modern talk about initial evidence. They weren't straining. They didn't know they were going to speak in the Spirit at all. They just did it. That was very wonderful. Just happened. The scripture is a record of the fact. The Spirit gave them utterance. He's been giving me utterance in tongues here this morning. Has he you? Marvellous. Oh, you don't blow your trumpet about it, because, how can you blow your trumpet about a breath? You say, well, I'll be sitting here breathing all the morning. Well, God gave it to you. What's wonderful about that? You just get on with it. Live in it. And let the Lord show you. But let's move on, shall we? We won't be able to cover so much ground, but come with me, bear with me. I want you to come through scriptures. I want you to see your glorious heritage. So connected with the Holy Ghost, as you will see, we're moving into the fourth chapter, and in chapter 4, you'll find in verse 8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Actually, the truth is, having been filled, he wasn't filled on the spot. What had happened on Acts 2 had lasted. Some people, they think they've got to get filled up again, fresh, almost got to get a new baptism at least once a week, if not every morning, sort of like that. But God doesn't go out of business. If he baptizes you, he baptizes you. All you do is walk in obedience. You don't get some schemes of trying to get yourself artificially filled. Peter was still filled with the Holy Ghost by the time he gets to chapter 4. I should think so. Look what he did in chapter 3. But we won't go back to it. You think of what he did in the third chapter. And in chapter 4, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And you see the things he says. Look at the end of chapter 4, too. When they'd prayed, verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And listen, the whole multitude of them had one heart and one soul. That's what the Holy Ghost does for you. Gives you a heart with everybody else that's filled with the Holy Ghost. You share one heart, one soul with him. Your whole life will be transformed. Absolutely changed. Now, wouldn't you like that to happen? Now, come on, you would, wouldn't you? Right down in the deeps of you. Well, only the Holy Ghost can do it. Well, Jesus does. That's right. But this is how he does it, by giving you the Holy Ghost. Don't you see? He doesn't do it independently of the Holy Spirit. We feel we've got to fight for Jesus as against the Holy Ghost. Nothing of the sort. You don't do that. This is the way he's done it. The Bible is here. It's the record. It's the history. It's the God-given word. This is the way he does it. Amen. All right, now that's wonderful, isn't it? Let's go on, shall we, into chapter 5, and we're going to learn something about the importance of the Holy Spirit here. And in verse 3, we'll find Peter's talking to Ananias, and he says, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part. Now, you see why people get into trouble? They keep back part. You've got to give all. And I want you to notice the importance of the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't say, now, what, Jesus is the head of the body. Why have you come to lie to Jesus? He didn't say that. The Holy Ghost. Did you notice? This is the importance of the Holy Ghost. You've lied to the Holy Ghost. Don't you lie to the Holy Ghost or lie about him. God says he'll give you the Holy Ghost when you become obedient. Don't you open your mouth to say one syllable against that. Don't you lie against it. He's very important, this Holy Ghost. This is why people don't ever get him. Keep lying against him. Say anything. They say they're being honest. Well, if you've got that kind of a heart and call it honest, it's time you got it changed, because it's most dishonest. It's going against God's word. It isn't the quotation of your state that we want. The Bible isn't a quotation of man's state. It's a quotation of God's word. That's precisely what you've got to leave behind and be honest enough to leave it. You have to obey God. And of course I pointed you to chapter 5:32, where we looked at the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to chapter 36. Chapter 6, I mean. And when we get to the 6th chapter, we read this. Verse 3. Brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. There you are. Been talking about honesty. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You see what's associated with the Holy Ghost? You say, oh, you know, I wish I had more wisdom. Well, there it is. Unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't have it. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Amen. Let's look a little lower down. Verse 5. The saying pleased the multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. There you are. You say, you know, I've not got much faith. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. See what's associated with it? Full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. If God wants anything done, you've got faith for it. I'm not saying you've got faith for anything. I said, if God wants anything done, that's different. I'm not saying the same thing as you've got faith for anything. What God wants done, you'll have faith to do. This wild talk that's supposed to be what the Bible says is utterly disruptive of truth. You'll have faith for everything that God wants done. Now that's a marvelous thing. It won't be what you want done on the strength of your good nature or your wrong ideas or what it might be. Isn't it a blessed thing, these things that are associated with the Holy Ghost? And we'll go right down to chapter 7. It's still on about this man Stephen. And it says in verse 54 of chapter 7, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. My beloved, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're never afraid of men's faces anymore, you see. There they all gnashing their teeth. What, they'd have torn the heart out of him if they could have got him. He looks steadfast. He sees Jesus. That's what being filled with the Holy Ghost does, brothers and sisters. Keeps you with the upward look. You don't see all these devils and fierce fellows that are, I don't know what they wouldn't do. Glory be to God. This was a very special thing, of course. But I love this association. I hope you do. And I could have pointed you, of course, to a word that he spoke earlier. And perhaps we ought to look at it in verse 51. He says, Stephen, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. How many of the prophets and preachers have you slain with your tongue? I don't believe that. Just like your fathers did. That's what you're doing. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Holy Ghost. They became murderers after resisting the Holy Ghost. They'd slain Jesus, so they slew one of his prophets. He's very important, is the Holy Ghost. There's a sword coming out of your mouth. It's the sword of the Spirit that's in you, like the sword that came out of Jesus' mouth was the sword of the Spirit of him. It's all right, that sword, if it's coming out of your mouth, if your face is shining like the sun. Keep smiting me with that. I'll love it. Now, the Lord... is that clock fast? Check, it is. 3 minutes, is it? 2 minutes. Right. we'll gather up the fragments that remain. Not that we're going to get to the end of this thing at all. In the ninth chapter, we read about Saul. And Ananias, in verse 17, went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on Saul, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." You see that? He didn't say, "Receive your sight and have assurance that your sins are forgiven." Notice that. He said, "Receive thy sight. Be filled with the Holy Ghost." He'll bring you assurance of everything, of course. You don't have to specify something. The Holy Ghost is the great person assurance. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately, it all happened. This is what the Holy Ghost does. Isn't it tremendous? I think so, anyway. And then you get to chapter 10. And I suppose I must close with this one. 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will be your anointing. Your anointing is the Holy Ghost himself, not something he does. Him. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. See what's associated with the Holy Ghost and power. Power. And if I come to the end of the chapter almost, while Peter, 44, speaks these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Have you heard it this morning? If you've heard it and you've not received the Holy Spirit, he'll fall on you. Fall on you. Are you ready? Now, will you resist him? You hear the word. God's word. It's above yours. It's above all men's words. They heard the word. Holy Ghost fell on them. You know, nobody hears the word of God and they say they're submissive in spirit. It's the spirit of a man that hears the word of God, not his ears particularly. Notice the difference between words and word in that chapter. Their ears heard a lot of words. Their spirit heard the word. Hallelujah. That's the test. When you've heard the word of God, there's no argument, no answer, no comeback, no anything. Just, "Lord, I obey. I feel, I receive." And if you read down the verse, the chapter will conclude it. This, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was theirs. You'll be able to say, he's mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. My Holy Ghost. Just like you say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. You sing that hymn? He's mine. Glory. How many of you have heard the word this morning? How many of you say, Lord, I'll obey. I obey thee now. Hallelujah. He gives to the obedient. He carefully avoids giving to the disobedient. He would only confirm your disobedience. He would be a bad father to confirm anybody's disobedience. And to that, he gives to the obedient. Lord, I obey you. And your mouth is silenced forevermore about yourself or anything else. Lord, thank you. Obedience of your spirit brings the working of your mind to a halt. Amen. It's a tremendous thing. God comes and fills. I must stop. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for this tremendous fact, this heavenly truth, Lord. Father, the Holy Ghost is thine, he's mine. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Amen.